Thank you, Jesus. I just want to give thanks to the Lord today. I was listening to some people that have some intel, usually have good intel today, and they were talking about what they recovered off of the Ever Given, the ship. The COVID is nothing compared to what they found on the ship. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm so thankful that He surrounds us as, you know, as with a shield. He protects us. Even when we don't know what's coming, we don't know what the enemy's tried to launch against us, but His faithfulness to protect us, there's no telling how many people's lives were saved just by what happened. It really was a Red Sea moment. It really was. God really intervened and saved a lot of people, a lot of lives. And I just thought, wow, Lord, you know, I just soon not know any of it. But, you know, you've got to know so you can tell people. But I just wanted to say thank you to the Lord tonight because He is watching after us. It doesn't matter what they have plotted. The president number 44 was the instigator of that. It's going to take out masses of people. So it got foiled, and God did it. Lord, we just thank you for that tonight. All right, Wednesday evening, 5:12:21, we're going to look at a no-nonsense look at the book of Revelation. We're going to look tonight. The title of this is called Rebuilding the Third Temple. Is it biblical? You know, we've heard that. I've heard that all my Christian life about, well, you know, they hadn't built the third temple yet, so it just can't be time. Well, we're going to look in the scriptures tonight and see exactly what they're talking about and where they get that in the first place. Most traditionally taught believers believe that before the Lord comes back, there will be a rebuilding of the third temple. We're going to have a look at that and see what the scriptures actually say about it. Are we actually waiting for a sign that will not come? Could be. Let's take a look. You can hear these scriptures tonight and then you can form your own opinion. You know, say, okay, Lord, is this right? Or what's your take on it? All right, Mark 14. This is verse 58. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Jesus said that. All right, he was talking about his raising from the dead after he was crucified, that he would be the temple. Yeah, a little bit different way of looking at it, right? Here again we see a spiritual house raised up and not a natural one. Classic. I mean, it really is classic. Just how either our scriptures have been skewed for us to believe certain things. This is my personal take on it. I think that they twisted it just enough to get you always looking out there somewhere and looking for a sign so that you would not prepare and you would not be ready. And then they could come in and do, like, you know, what the Lord rescued us from. They could come in and do their stuff to us and we would be unaware because we're not looking because we hadn't seen that sign yet. The only sign we better be looking for is the sign of the Son of Man, and that's in here. The Lord's saying, it's time, you need to be doing this, or you need to move this way, or go that way. That's the sign we need to be looking for from the inside. Not if there's two old prophets in the square in Jerusalem out there preaching, or if they're building their temple. No, we need to be listening in here. We know the times and the seasons. We may not know the day or the hour, but we know the season we're in, and it's very obvious to me. We're in the end of days. Because you think about it, but what they discovered on that ship, it could probably have taken out all the population that they wanted taken out, animals and human. We're talking all mammals. Off of, you know, like the Georgia Guidestones, to 500 million people. They could have done that very easily. Now tell me that's not the end times. That's about as end as you get as far as this earth, anyway. This population of this earth. Yeah. I mean, we've had wars and things, and we've had a lot of things happen and a lot of people killed, but never to this magnitude where the whole world has been targeted. I mean, I guess you've seen, I was telling Danny today about people that have had the vaccine, they can put a magnet where the shot went in and it sticks to their arm. It's a bioweapon, people. It's not a vaccine. And I don't know how I feel about vaccines. To me, I wouldn't want to take anything any of the Magic Kingdom had anything to do with, you know, even though we've had vaccines. But I'm thinking, what's wrong with this picture? Are they turning into a robot? Metal? Transhumanism? I don't know. I mean, you hear all kinds of things, but it is possible of the stuff that they're messing with and they're trying, using us as human guinea pigs. That's what this experimental drug is supposed to be. All the animals they used to test it on had died, so they quit testing the animals, and now they're testing humans. And it's unnerving to know and be around people that you know they've done it, and you don't know, are they going to live, Lord? Are they going to live? What is the fatality rate on this? Is this just the scare event? It's all a big hoax? Or what's really real here? I think as the American people, it's time that we hear the truth. We've foot the bill for everything. We have foot the bill for everything. We have a right to know. We have a right to know. They need to give us some truth. They need to quit. Anyway, I'll get off the soapbox. All right, let's look at some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So Jesus' body, his resurrected body, would be the temple. God didn't get any glory out of a natural temple. That wasn't his plan in the first place. I mean, he had to work with what the hand he was dealt because of what happened in the garden. Until he could bring Jesus back in and make things back to pre-garden state, he had to deal with, you know, the blood of bulls and goats and all this natural stuff. But that wasn't his best. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:14. And God hath raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, God, He puts a very, very high standard there when it comes to sexual purity. Because that is the beast system and the Illuminati and the Satan worshipers, Luciferians, and their occultic practices. It's always sexual perversion. That's their game. That's why I believe the actual mark is partaking of that Moloch worship, Baal worship. Because God, you know, He doesn't have a tolerance for that. It's like that's where people step over the line with Him. And so He's telling us we're defiling the temple when we partake in those areas. So I'm not saying it's not forgivable. I mean, I'm sure people have repented and gotten back on track, but, you know, and I'm not talking just fornication. I'm talking, well, fornication includes all of it, you know. All right, Ephesians 2, 19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. See, when Jesus spoke that, He said, all these stones are going to be thrown down one upon another. He's the stone. He's the head of the corner. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Okay, 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Is that all I want to read there? A couple more. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Here we go again, assuming that things are literal. I've looked all through the Old and New Testament. I don't find any building of any third temple. The only temple I found was, well, they made the tabernacle, and then Solomon built the temple. All right, let's keep going here. Matthew 4. Hey, I'm cold up here. It's cold. Yeah. It's the middle. Four. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be... That can't be right. Let me look at 14. I must have typed that wrong. Let me look here, because I know it's not that. I don't know what I was. Let me look at 24. My pee. Sometimes I get to typing pretty fast, and I. Yeah, it's 24, Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? So they're asking Jesus, well, tell us about it. All right. And then it was two questions. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So they're asking him about when is this temple going to be torn down? And then when is your coming again? Yeah. All right, verse 15 and 20, same chapter. This is, he's answering that first question. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Then he starts to answer the second question. He starts talking about, for them there shall be great tribulation. So, all right, let's look at Daniel. This is where this originated from. I believe this is where most people would give their reference to the building of the third temple. Seventy weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. This was his crucifixion. But not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and from the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I don't know that I totally all understand that, but now with that, go over to 1 Corinthians 3. Right here, 17. And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Talking about the desolation of the temple here. All right, back to 1 Peter. This is 2:5. It says, ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. All right. As I'm reading this last passage, it sounds to me like Jesus is dealing with the evil in his time. I see nowhere here that indicates a building of a third temple. Jesus is the temple. He said as much to his disciples. And it didn't say in there, it didn't say building of the temple. It talked about rebuilding Jerusalem. All right. Now, this is commentary that's in my Bible here. It talks about the abomination of desolation refers to Daniel 9:27, 11:31, and 12:11, where Antiochus Epiphanes, I guess is how you pronounce it, profanation of the Jewish temple worship would foreshadow a similar and more severe act by the eschatological Antichrist, whereas Antiochus offered a pig on the sacred altar of the temple. The Antichrist will present himself. So it's giving reference to the abomination of desolation that happened in AD 70 that Jesus was telling the disciples about. That's what it says in my reference. Now some people think, well, it's going to happen again with the Antichrist. I guess you can decide that for yourself. Do your study for yourself. Okay, 2 Thessalonians, kind of, is talking in that vein. This is chapter 2. It's talking about the mystery of iniquity. I don't know about you. You know, talking about we want to know the truth about things and we need to know the truth about things and especially about God's Word and what is the truth and what isn't the truth. I've had years and years and years of doctrine infiltration and I don't need it. I don't need any more of it. I want the truth. I said, Lord, I want to know the truth. Yeah. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, that that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. Now this could have been around the time before this happened. Like I said, do your own study on that. Because this is, you know, written back then after Jesus. And probably the disciples were all dead by the time that transpired. More than likely, they weren't any of them alive. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery iniquity doth already work, only he who now litteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Lord, Holy Spirit just spoke to me. There's been many antichrists. There's been many. And I don't know, you know, all of them, but there's been many throughout the scriptures. Yeah. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So even then, they were having all the rumors. The rumor mill was going, even back then, about, oh, the Lord's already come. And it upset the body, thinking we've missed the Lord already. Yeah. The scripture certainly fits that time frame, though, a possibility, because, you know, it was 70 years. All right, let's keep going here. Revelation 11. We're going to look at verse 1 and 2. And it was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread underfoot for 42 months. Was that during this time also? I don't know. I haven't even read down here in the reference to see if it gave anything like that. Okay, like I said, don't take my word for anything. Go look it up for yourself. Holy Spirit speak to you about it. I read Revelation every day, at least a chapter. And I try to read it slowly to where every word I savor, because sometimes you'll see something you didn't see before. All right, 21:22. I'm just giving you scriptures that talk about the temple and trying to qualify this third temple that's supposedly to be built. How biblical is that? 21:22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Well, this is the new heaven, new earth, and this is when the new Jerusalem, which is the representative of the church, comes down out of heaven and rests on the earth. Okay. All right, John 2:20 is, this is, I think there's like three references of this scripture. I just wrote them all down. John 2:20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Yeah. Luke 21:6. I think that's another, maybe another reference to that. Verse 6. As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And then this is just the same account, just in the book of Luke, where he's going to explain to them. You know, let's just read this. Let's read this, because Luke was a physician. He was had an eye for details, and he was a lot more descriptive in his. Maybe we'll pick up something here. Verse 5 here. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he saith unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall be there be from heaven. If you'll notice, you know, I think a couple of months back, I brought to you about, it seems like the earthquakes are just consistent now all over the earth. Well, a lot of them is they're cleaning out the domes, and it appears as an earthquake. There's two different readings that they take, and they can tell if it's a man-made or a natural earthquake by the readings. You only get the one reading if it's not. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. Of some of you shall they cause you to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem come past by armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. Which I'm sure y'all been, or I know Jackie's been keeping up with what's going on in Jerusalem right now. All those, I mean, it's like, I guess those are all missiles. It looks like the sky is full of stars. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying, well, you know, Q said they're saving Israel to last. But anyway, there's stuff going on right now. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Personally, I think it's having to do with 1870, because this is when they were scattered. They'd be trodden down by the Gentiles, and they were scattered. Trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waters roaring. All of the above is happening today. Men's hearts failing them for fear. You talk about men's hearts failing them for fear. When they start finding out what they planned for us, what we missed, what they're doing to the children, what they put in those vaccines, what they're doing. You talk about people, there's going to be people probably taking their lives over it. That's what Q said. If they knew everything, 99% would be in the hospital. They'd run the hospitals. Yeah. All right. Men's hearts fading them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. All right. All right, that was Luke 21. How fitting that the natural temple would be thrown down. I do not believe it will be erected naturally again. I do not believe that it's God's plan, because that was never his plan in the first place. Jesus had to be the sacrifice to bring us back to where we were from the beginning. God will not dwell in it ever again. Now, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Phoenician, the Khazarian mafia erects it. Because see, they're trying to pull the strings, and they're trying to bring the end times and their timing and doing it their way, but God's going to have his way, not them. All right. Revelation 12. To me, this is a resurrection of the third temple right here. Just bear me out. I want to read the 17 scriptures here. Sorry, y'all. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And he drew nigh. That's the second time this is in Revelation. I read last week about that, where those 7 heads represent, maybe it was Sunday, those 7 authorities, 7 heads of those mountains of culture. And he drew in his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. We always go back to there, don't we? To the garden, what the devil did, and those angels, what they did. We're living it today. For the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. See, because what happened in the garden, what happened in Genesis 6 with the Nephilim, what was the purpose of that? Satan was trying to pollute the bloodline. He did not want the Messiah to come through the woman. So he's always after the woman. He said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman. Yeah. For to devour her child as soon as it was born. Every woman until Mary thought they could possibly be the bearer of the Messiah. Yeah. They didn't know. Now I guess those that paid attention, the scholars that paid attention, like the wise men from the east saw the star. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. See, he was going to overthrow the dragon and his 7 heads and his 10 horns and his 10 kings. 10 crowns upon his horns. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had the place prepared for her, that they should feed her for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. There's the new temple. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which had brought forth the man-child. And to the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a times and times and a half time from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay. All right, we're going to look at another account. This is Mark. Like I told you, it's just about in every gospel, I think. Mark 14:58. We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Yes. It's been repeated many times. Must be some significance to it. He said, I'm going to restore that temple. But this one's made without hands. All right. Okay. Is this the third temple? I believe so. All right. Now go back to Revelation. We're all over the place tonight, but this is Revelation 11:19. It says, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there was lightning and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Okay, flip back to Matthew 12. I think I wrote it wrong again. Let me see where if maybe I missed it with. Okay, well, I'll skip that one because I don't know what I've. This is my thoughts. If it's such a big deal, especially to the Christian leaders of today, don't you think that it would be plainly laid out in the scriptures? In fact, as detailed as God was giving the Israelis the dimensions for every little thing, wouldn't you think that they would have complete and total instructions about the rebuilding? I mean, go look and read about Solomon's temple. Very detailed. I don't see anything. None of it. None of it is in Scripture. I'm sure some will react to this information just like those that heard Jesus say this. This is Mark 15:29. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, this is when he was on the cross, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days? They were mocking him for the words he said because they didn't understand. Jesus did just what he said he was going to do. His death, burial, and resurrection destroyed the temples made with hands, and now God, by his Holy Spirit, resides inside of our spirits. Natural Jews may rebuild something, but I do not believe that God is in it. He moved out of the box the day that Jesus died on the cross, and the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. I want to read that scripture. That'll be my last scripture. Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. I was listening, one day I was listening to Melissa, Red Pill of the World. She was going into detail about the man that discovered the Ark. The Ark is actually under Golgotha. And when Jesus' blood dripped from his body and that earthquake happened, it split the rocks open. In fact, the top of the Ark was broken when he discovered it. The blood had dripped down onto the mercy seat. Jesus' blood at the cross. That's where it had been hidden. I think Jeremiah hid the ark. Because that was when Babylon, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar took them all, exile and everything. Anyway, and he had that blood analyzed. And even after all of these years, that blood was alive. And that's facts. Yeah. Okay.